Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today we're going to hear two episodes, Making It with Malala and Grace's Unnamed Cooking Show. Enjoy. Nobody.
Proper, no lie, lie, give me strength, let me prosper. Daddy say you want me to be lawyer, be doctor, riff raff, kiddy gun, window shopper. Oh yeah, fine boy, take away auntie, bougie, akile, oh I fancy when I see a type.
One time kill, if I born it, it's mine, you can't stop me, hey, you can't stop me, oh.
Hello and welcome to Making It with Malala. I'm your host, Malala Samir, and on this episode we'll be speaking about culture. What defines culture? What is culture? Who's entitled to said culture? With a very special guest, my friend Miriam. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Miriam. I'm 20 years old and I'm studying here at AUP International and Comparative Politics. I grew up in Gabon, but my parents are Lebanese. So I grew up with a mix of culture.
Interesting, interesting. So now that you're Lebanese,
yeah,
grew up in Gabon,
yeah,
and you're studying in Paris,
yeah,
you definitely experience lots of different mixes of culture. From my experience, I'm African American, and then on my dad's side, I'm Trinidadian, so I'm Caribbean. And I grew up in New York, which is obviously a mix of many different cultures and different experiences. But the main question is, what defines culture? So although you might not be of Gabonese blood, you are 1,000% Gabonese and of that culture, would you say?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm 100%, like my culture is 100% Gabonese, because I think it's a mix of the Lebanese culture and the Gabonese, which are very different. So the thing is, when I go to Gabon, I can hang out with my friends, but I cannot go to Lebanon and have the same conversation I have in Gabon with my friends in Lebanon because of the cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
I may be seen as doing something wrong when I'm in Gabon. Like, if my Lebanese friends see me, mm-hmm. they might say, oh, you're wearing something too short or something like that. But this is also because of the Muslim community. Like, both of my parents are Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really big clash of culture, because when I talk to my cousins, I'm way more different than them. Then, like, it's so weird.
That makes a lot of sense. To bring, like, a religious aspect into culture, like, religion itself breeds its own many different cultures within it. Like, within Judaism, there's, like, Hasidic Jews, and there's, like, different aspects of more conservative religious people. Or in Christianity, you have, like, we got the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists, and we mm-hmm. have the Methodists, and we have all these Jehovah's Witnesses. Like, these are subcultures within a religion.
Yeah.
And so I do see how that can might affect your day-to-day. Like, with both my parents being they were used to be Seventh-day Adventists and they met at a Christian college. I think although they abandoned the religion, the culture still was ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
So I do grow up with like a different values where I saw things as, oh, that's wrong, you're not supposed to do that. Or like honoring the Sabbath and whatnot. So with you're able to experience both, where in some places mm-hmm. you do have that religious culture of, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this.
Yeah.
Then you go back to your home and it's like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, it's okay when I'm with my friends.
You still have your parents up with that strict culture.
Yeah, well, my dad is more, I wouldn't say more religious than my mother. Both of them are like really good Muslims. But my mom, she's the type of person that understands that we're living in a country where there's not a big population of Muslims, so we're influenced and we grew up with a lot of different religions around us. So we don't like necessarily do everything that a typical Muslim would do. Like, for example, my mom is not against the fact that we can drink alcohol or wear crop tops or whatever. But my dad, on the other side, no. Like, no. I can't even, like, be wearing a crop top or a short in front of him. And it's so weird because I grew up in Gabon where it's, like, really hot.
Yeah, that's the norm. That's the temperature.
Yes, it's, like, always above 20 degrees Celsius. I don't know how it is in the American.
That's 80 degrees.
Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
very, very hot. It's Africa.
Yes, it's like, and we don't have different like seasons. It's always hot. It's either like the rain season or it's not. Mm-hmm. So it's always hot, and we're always next to the beach, and we're always swimming with our friends. Mm-hmm. But this is where you have to hide it from your dad.
Oh, absolutely! I remember being in middle school. Even though it's like summertime, I still have like these somewhat conservative parents. Even though they're not religious anymore, they're still like kind of strict, and like my friends would give me these shorts. Mm-hmm. And so I would go to school in my jeans, and then I would change into these shorts, but then I felt so guilty about it.
Me too.
So I would put on like leggings under.
Oh.
And then put the shorts over. And so I was like that slight like bit of guilt. I didn't wear a bikini up until I was maybe 21 years old.
Oh.
Like I've always wore worn pieces or like cover ups, or not because I was uncomfortable with my body, but just because it's like,
yeah, because of your parents.
Not,
yeah,
supposed to. So I've never felt comfortable wearing one, and now I can do what I want. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the difference is my mom, she doesn't care about like how we wear, as long as it's not vulgar where my ass is out and my tits are out.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad is the problem. So then what we would do is that I would, for example, tell my mom that I'm going to the beach with my friends and we're going to be swimming. So she knows that I'm going to be wearing a bikini. But my dad wouldn't know that I'll be swimming. So he just thinks that I'm just going there watching my friends swim. I don't know how. Sometimes I feel like he knew, but he just acted as if he didn't.
So you can still be somewhat concerned.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was weird because sometimes I would go out of the house wearing, like, enormous sweatpants and the biggest, how do you call them?
Hoodies.
Biggest hoodies, just because I'm wearing stuff underneath it.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even, like, he wouldn't care that I'm going out dressed like a fucking homeless person. And I'd be like, okay, so you don't care if I look homeless, but you care
as long as you're not a slutty homeless.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, whatever. But at the end of the day, we did whatever we wanted to do with my sisters. Mm-hmm. And my dad, compared to his family, he's really open-minded.
Really?
Really open-minded. Mm. Like, some of my family members, well, his brothers and his sisters, they have kids. And, for instance, all of their kids are wearing a hijab.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the daughters, and me and my sisters are the only one from my dad's side that don't wear hijab, and he never actually had this conversation with us. He always told us that this is your decision. If you want to wear it, you wear it. If you don't, you don't have to. And because he saw that we were living in Africa where nobody from our age mm-hmm. was wearing a hijab.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he never like forced it onto us, which I think is a really good thing. Another point of view is that he never had an issue with us having guy friends or inviting guy friends over, as long as they're not in our room, our bedrooms.
Oh, please. No guy was ever allowed in my house.
We have, like, in Gabon, we have a house that is, like, two floors.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first floor, you have the kitchen, you have everything, like, and upstairs, you have all the bedrooms. So he would be like, okay, you can hang out wherever you want in the house. But if I see someone on the stairs, like a guy on the stairs, you guys are going to get in trouble. Even if he's not in your room, I don't want anyone on the stairs.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because like...
It makes sense.
Which...
So, but I understand think, that because I grew up with strict parents that
yeah.
within this religious culture.
But I actually think that that's a good thing. You know, like, I think that the mix of my Gabonese culture and my Lebanese Muslim culture
mm-hmm.
is a good mix. Because then I'm conservative from certain point of view, and I'm open-minded on other things, which I think is a good mix. Because if you're too open-minded on anything...
You can't be wilding out or wilding in, I don't know, And so do you feel like this balance of conservative on some sides, more open-minded on other things is because of this dual culture that you have?
Yes. Well, in Lebanon, where my family is from, is in the south. So it's a mostly Muslim community. So I grew up in a neighborhood. Well, I didn't grow up in Lebanon. But every time I would go to visit my cousins and my family there, it would be weird. Because, like, girls and boys don't mix that much, you know? Like, you always have the girls on one side and then the boys on another side. And because I never lived in Lebanon, I didn't have really, like, I didn't have friends there. I just had cousins. And my cousins would introduce me to their friends. But the thing is, it's so weird because when I was younger, I would go there and, like, my dad, for example, he wouldn't mind when I was younger to wear shorts and play around. But my grandpa, he was like, no, you're 9 years old, you need to go wear pants and a shirt. Like, you can't be wearing tank tops and a short when it's summer, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was weird because even though my dad is conservative, he is way more open-minded than the rest of his family. And in Gabon, he seems stricter than when we're in Lebanon. I don't know if you know mm-hmm. what I mean. But, like, because in Gabon, everybody goes out wearing tank tops and shorts and whatever, and you can go to the beach, and then you can go out with your friends clubbing and stuff like that. My dad would not let us do any of these. Like, we could go to the beach, but as long as we don't swim, you know? But when we would go to Lebanon, because we didn't have any friends that would go clubbing or would do anything there, and we would have our cousins that are all wearing the hijab and they can go out with their cousins that are gay, that are men. It would be like our dad is so open-minded that he lets us go out with our cousins that are guys. And my cousins, girls, would be like, oh, your dad is so great because he lets you go out. And I'm like, well, this should be normal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your cousin, you know? But then I don't want to be talking shit about any of the cultures, because at the end of the day, the Lebanese culture I'm talking about is also because of the Muslim community. And I don't know a lot about the Christian community in Lebanon, but I know that I know my experience of my Muslim community and my family, which are very conservative. And in Gabon, I actually was grateful. Like, when I'm getting older, I'm grateful for my dad's conservative point of view, because I feel like
it's so easy to start wilding out.
It's not just that. It's just the fact that, for example, I never went to clubs. Mm-hmm. I've never went clubbing.
And discotheque?
Yeah, never. Even in Gabon. Never went clubbing, nor here, nor in Lebanon. And actually, I think that that's a good thing. Because I realize that I don't like that things. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be doing something just because everybody's doing it. And,
right. Oh,
you're young, you need to be enjoying life and stuff like that. Or the fact that I never had a real boyfriend until, like, 2 years ago. And because I never had a real boyfriend.
So, when you were 18?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. when I got with my current boyfriend. Which is amazing. I love him.
Okay, Bundul, shout out.
Yeah, he doesn't go to AUP, so he's not going to hear this podcast.
True. I actually never had a boyfriend up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's official now.
Oh my God,
so
and you
gross.
Didn't tell me?
So gross. It's rather new.
Okay, Malala is my best friend. We've been best friends for two years.
Yeah.
And this bitch... She introduced
Are you
me
cursing on my radio show?
Yes.
Oh.
This bitch, she never, like, she talks to me about this guy. She's been talking to me about this guy for a long time now. And every mm-hmm. time I ask to meet him, she's like, yeah, we'll do something. And I'm like, okay, then
she's
show
never
me a picture.
Gonna meet him.
And she's like, no,
she's
I don't want to show you a picture. Why?
Because.
I'm not going to judge.
I think it's like, as much as I enjoy his company and like him and value the time that we spent together and the things he does for me and the things he pays for, but
the things he pays for.
I gotta make sure I'm like even like 100% in it.
Okay, but didn't you tell me the other day that I had a good feel? Like, I know
you have
when
the best taste in humans. I will say.
Exactly. I know when somebody is a red flag.
When, no, like, honestly, it's like I wear rose-colored glasses or something with in every aspect of my life. As soon as Miriam's like, I don't like this person, she cuts them off and stops talking to them. I'm just like, Miriam, And then months later, I figure out why, because that person, like, stabs me in the back or is, like, fake or super weird. I'm just like, Miriam, you were right. So she's, like, a really good judge of character. But what's troubling is, why are you friends with me? I'm like the biggest walking red flag.
Okay, you're not. Because, like, you're the nicest and most loyal person I've met. Like, the thing is, in Gabon, everybody's straightforward. Mm. Like, if a bitch doesn't like you, you can tell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, she's not faking it. Oh, she's going to tell it to your face. And just the way she's going to look at you, you're going to know.
Right.
So these fake bitches, we don't really have that.
No,
you
yeah.
know? Like, you can tell easily. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, I don't know. I feel like that's why. And plus, I feel like you guys, American, are so nice and so happy always and everything.
Except,
like, hi, how are you?
And I'm like, New Yorkers, though. Not New Yorkers.
Yeah, that's why I feel like I like you.
That is true. If I'm excited to see you, it's because I haven't seen you in, like, a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be like, oh, my God. Girl, how are you? Girl, I saw you 30 minutes ago in the bathroom.
Exactly. I'm not
gonna thank you for the fun. But so I do see her as a really good judge of character. But like I said, I've never, because of the way I grew up, my culture, my parents were like, you're not dating. I'm like, okay. Then I snuck around, got myself a little boyfriend when I was 13 and he was 15. And it was not a, like, it could have gone very bad had he not been such a spectacular person. It could have gone bad really quick because he was a bit older. It's like, that's the culture I grew up in, like, being, like, super, like, I remember I was telling my mom a story and I pretended that it, sorry, mom, but I pretended that it wasn't me. I was like, oh, yeah, my friend, and I said, like, a funny story, and she's like, why was she doing that? Why would she be sitting on a guy's lap if that's not her boyfriend? And
well, I know what story you're talking about.
Shut your mouth, Miriam.
I'm not going to say anything.
And so I'm just like, oh, I forget. You're like, that's within your culture to be like that. Okay.
But like, because you grew up in a big city, was it easier for you to just do whatever you want?
Well, absolutely. But a part of, like, that weird guilt that I had stopped me from doing certain things. Like, yes, I was, I hope you're not listening to this, Mom, but I did go, like, to, like, clubbing when I was a teenager. Like, I did have a fake ID, but I didn't need to use my fake ID because you just walk in being that bitch. You walk into any club that's 21, order a drink, it is what it is. I knew every bouncer. Like, I didn't necessarily care, but I always knew my limits. I knew exactly what time to get home. I knew exactly what lies to say. And so, but I still had that sort of guilt. Like, I never drank too much when I was a teenager. I never got out of hands because I still had that sort of, like, voice in my head of, like, who I'm supposed to be and what, how I'm supposed to act. So because I've never had, like, been in a relationship, I'm very, very hesitant about, like, what, like, how does this work? I don't really know. At what point do you introduce your friends, or at what point is this or that? You know?
Well, didn't he introduce you to some of his friends?
No, and I told him not to because I don't want to meet your fuck ass friends.
Oh.
Which is what I said, which I probably shouldn't have said.
You were straight up for them.
I was like, I don't want to meet your fuck ass friends.
He's French, right?
He's not Parisian French. He's Normandy French. So
yeah, but he's still French.
It's cooler. It's better. He grew up in the woods. So he's like,
yeah,
he's
no. He's more like
chill.
A blédard, we say in French.
Okay, and what
is
that
from
mean?
The bled. Like, from the bled, how do you say that?
I don't know. The forest, the woods?
No, like, the bled is, like, le bled is where, like, you, I don't know how you say it. I don't know how to explain
it. It's a shame, because I know you guys are going to get along. Ugh. He's really into rap music.
Oh, French rap?
French and American.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Okay. But it's, like, strange. It's like, when do I do the introducing? Is it, like, do I even see it lasting or worth talking about?
Well, you don't have to introduce, like, your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what
I friends, I mean you.
Yeah, well, like, obviously you have no other,
like,
friends.
I have no other friends. I'm kidding.
But you need to be, like, just go along with the relationship how you feel, like, going along with it. Like, don't force yourself to do anything you don't want to do.
Right.
Okay. Well, the difference is with Hassan, my boyfriend, it was really different because, well, he was my friend before anything happened. And then we got into lockdown. Yeah. 2 years ago.
Quarantine will do it.
And all my friends that are doing their studies in Paris, but are from Gabon, we decided to go to a house. Anyways, that's not the point of the podcast.
No, yeah, it is. You can talk about whatever you want. Proceed.
No, it's not that important. It's fine. So...
As in, but it was very new for you. He was your first boyfriend.
He was my first everything. My first kiss, my first everything. And I want to marry this guy.
Okay. Calm it down. And I want to marry this guy.
Well, disgusting. It's going to happen.
Good for you. I have no intention of marrying the guy I'm with.
For now.
No, absolutely not. I want to marry an American guy with a farm and have dirty farmer kids. Like, that's what I want.
You can come to Gabon.
And
we'll get a house, and there is a place in Gabon called Pont d'Igny. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's connected to Gabon, but the thing is, you cannot go there with your car. You need to go there with the boat.
Yeah,
a 15-minute boat ride. And then when you get there, it's like an island because it's all forest and sand and beach, and it's amazingly beautiful.
Like, well, I doubt there are any cowboys, so... That's where the American.
Why do we need cowboys?
We do not need cowboys.
We have the marabou. You know what are marabou?
I need a cowboy.
You know what are marabou?
Tell me.
So they're like the man witches in Gabon.
Girl.
Yeah. Oh, I need to show you. Anyways.
Because you guys are close to Benin, and I like you guys.
Well, it's still Africa, so you still have a lot of like these traditional
cultures.
Yes.
And practices.
But they're so... I love these practices, actually. Mm. Like, I don't believe in them because my parents don't believe in them and we didn't grow up in a household.
Right.
But we knew not to bother them because you don't know what they can do to you.
True.
Like, a few years ago, at the start of COVID, I shaved my head completely. Yeah. And I wanted to, like, give my hair... Because, like, one of... like, there's a saleswoman that works with my mom. She's like an employee for my mom. And so I'm really close to her. And she was like, yeah, can I take your hair to do a wig out of it?
No, absolutely
And
not.
Then I was like, this bitch is going to do something with my hair.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, like this is, like, for example, even your nails, you know? Like,
if someone sweeps up your fingernails, that's also bad.
Yeah, for example, like big, like presidents and like big personalities in Gabon. I don't know if it's the same in Africa or like in all other countries, but I know that in Gabon, some of corpses are like, they need somebody to stay next to the grave because they don't know if somebody's going to dig up the grave.
And do some things.
Yeah, and take something of the DNA. And you don't know what
Absolutely
happens.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But that's the culture.
Yes, that's the culture.
With this guy, I'm thinking about possibly planning like a camping trip out in Normandy because he was saying that that's something that him and his friends do. Like, there's like a forest, but also you park the cars right at the top of the ledge where the beach is,
mm-hmm.
and they just set up camp. So you set up the tents, and then you also have the car if you want. And it was just like, he's like, oh, is it something you would like to do with your friends? I'm like,
I love when you do the French accent.
Is that something I would like to do with my friends? Duh. What do you mean? Is that a question?
No. Don't take me there.
What?
Because I grew up in Gabon, in the forest.
Right.
I know what it is.
Okay, it's not the forest part. It's the beach part. We're camping on the beach.
You know, I don't want to be eaten by something.
Eaten? What, by a manatee? It's France. It's
oh,
really,
yeah.
There's no bears. There's no bears or lions or tigers or...
Okay, we don't have bears, lions, and tigers in Gabon.
I didn't say you did. It's just a common phrase. Lions and tigers and bears. You fuck
okay.
What? Jeez.
We have monkeys.
Oh, my God. Do they attack you?
No, they're scared of you.
Okay, good.
Sometimes, you know, when they're in the trees, they can throw things like if you're being noisy and like they don't like it,
oh
they'll just throw them.
Those little Karens.
Well, they're right.
Mini Karens.
They're right. You're coming into their home and talking shit and putting music and whatever. Yeah, you don't know what they're doing. Maybe their kids have school tomorrow. You don't know.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up there. As soon as you said monkeys have to go to school,
I don't know. You don't know what goes on with their lives. They still
like
have school, okay? When a mom is teaching her, like, her baby how to go take food and
and groom themselves.
Yes,
algebra.
That's cool. That's cool for them.
That's algebra. I mean, that's cool for them.
Algebra?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're doing that.
They've got equations to do.
Yeah, obviously.
All right, love. We're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Making with Malala with the very, very special guest, my best friend, Miriam from Gabon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to WRP.
Welcome back to my still unnamed show about food. I thought that I would have someone else come on today because it was such a disaster, me just talking the whole time last time. So my bestie Paige is here, and we're going to talk about the food that we ate when we went to Amsterdam over fall break last week. Was it the last week or the week before? A week ago. We got back. No, today's Friday. We got back last Wednesday, and it was so fun.
It was. And I don't think your last one was a disaster, just to put that
out
there.
You didn't even hear it, though. You didn't
but
hear
it. But there's no way anything you could produce would be a disaster.
No, it was not good. It was so awkward. but hopefully this one will be better, and hopefully soon I'll have a name for it. I'm not going to lie, I haven't been thinking a lot about a name, but I have been thinking a little bit about a name.
Do you have any ideas?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay, cool.
So that's where we're at. Occasionally it pops into my head and I say, I really don't have an idea. And then I just let it float
out. It's a later issue. It's okay.
It's an issue for future Grace. When this show does not get incredibly popular, it's an issue for then because it's never going to happen. So it's fine. Because no one's going to listen to it. Okay. Anyways, so Amsterdam. This was my first time going. We went for fall break, and we were there for, it was Friday to Wednesday.
Yeah, so 5 days.
5 days. It was a long time, but it was so fun. And we spent all of our money.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I'm broke
ate
now.
So much food, and it was so delicious. Oh, my God. I think about it sometimes. That food was so good.
It was, indeed.
This page is, super...
I feel so weird about having a microphone in front of me.
I like it because it makes me feel important.
Hearing the sound of my own voice scares me a lot.
See,
so.
Okay, usually me too, but I don't know. I feel like it's something about hearing it directly. It sounds less bad. This is how I think I actually sound. But when you hear a recording on your phone, I'm like, oh God, do I sound like that? But I think you sound more like this, you know?
Maybe
this,
that's true.
This sounds like what I think I sound like and not what my phone makes me think I sound like.
I could see that.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I still don't like it.
I have a lot of self-hate for my recorded voice, so. A lot of self-hate, which is another reason why I was scared to do this. But anyways, that's not important.
Food. So much food.
Okay, so I made a little list of all the places we went. I want to focus on the breakfast food that we ate because it was literally insane. It was, we're two Americans. Of course, we love breakfast. But, oh, my God. It was so good.
And the coffee, because obviously that's a priority for me.
The coffee was
so good, too.
The coffee. Oh, my God. Ugh. Okay. So, we're going to start. Let's see. Let's start from Friday. So, Friday, we didn't eat breakfast there.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty boring. On Saturday, I think we went to the place on the water maybe on Saturday.
Oh gosh, you're really gonna test my short-term memory.
Okay, wait, so let's do a quick rundown so we can remember where we went. We went to the place on the water that was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Saturday. Maybe it was Sunday, though.
No,
I don't know.
The first, okay, it's Saturday. I remember this because we were both painfully hungover. Can I say that? No, we were so hungover, we could barely survive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really get hungover anymore, and that was painful.
That was, okay.
And so we, like, dragged ourselves into this breakfast place. That was really cute, and we purposely sat near the bathroom just in case if something happened.
Oh my god, you guys, it was so bad. We were sitting there, and we were both sitting there like, like barely not alive. We waited for probably like 25 minutes for our food to get there. The food got set down at the table. I looked at it and said, Paige, I'm going to be right back. I went to the bathroom. I threw up just because of the sight and the thought of eating food just made me physically ill, and then I came back and ate it.
And then for me, I looked at it and was like, if I don't eat this right now, I will puke. And had to get something in my stomach as fast as humanly possible. So I'm scarfing it down while Grace is like running away.
While I'm literally like laying on the floor of like this dirty bathroom. it wasn't that gross, but it was a bathroom. So like it was kind of nasty. And I really only brought two pairs of pants with me. So I was like, I am ruining these pants day one of this trip.
Day one started off with our hungover breakfast. We really set the tone. Maybe that's why the rest of the food was so good.
No, I'm kidding.
Like, it was really good.
It was pretty good. Like, I got these, like, vegan banana pancakes, and, like, they weren't bad. Right. They weren't great. Like, I've definitely had much better pancakes, but they weren't that bad.
And I got avocado toast, didn't I?
With, like, smoked
salmon.
Oh,
that was so good. I really needed avocado, like, every day for some reason.
Yeah, you ate avocado. I think you had avocado toast almost every single day.
Because I'm deprived. So I had to. I'm from California. What do you expect?
Cali girl.
Me and my avocado toast.
Okay, so then the next day, you also had avocado toast. But
I had variations of avocado toast, clarify.
No, but that day you had pancakes. Okay, so Saturday morning we went to, it was called like Lavinia. Because I know that like the entire world was in Amsterdam over fall break. And if you weren't there, you probably want to go at some point. So write these down, because these were some good-ass fucking restaurants.
Yes.
So Lavinia was really cute, and everything on the menu looked really good. And if I hadn't been hungover, I probably would have eaten all of it.
Yes.
The next day, we went to Eggs Benedicted.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite. Oh, my God. That
definitely
was the best
the favorite.
By far.
And to sit outside on the water was just added to the fact that the food was the best.
We had like the cute little table like right next to the canal. Our server was like, he was
so funny. He's so funny.
He was like this, he wasn't like old enough to be like a funny old man, but like he was just like so funny and like slightly like in the age between like my parents and my grandparents, so like the age of person that I don't typically interact with whole lot. And he was so funny. And I'm one of those people who, like, I'll always, whenever I'm at a restaurant and I can't, and I don't immediately know what I want, I ask the server, like, what's your favorite? What do you recommend? And some people get really annoyed with me because I'm from the Midwest. And so everyone in the Midwest is nice. And they love, like, talking and chatting and telling you about their favorite thing. But Parisians don't.
Well, I feel like most of the world doesn't.
But why? It's so fun. I have things that I love, and I want to share them with other people so that they can try them and maybe like them too. That's literally why I have this podcast.
I love your perspective on it, and it's so sweet. But, like, I just picture at my old job as, like, a barista, if somebody's asking me what my favorite is this, like, super complicated, annoying-ass order to make. I would never recommend it.
But then you just make up a fake favorite. You say that your favorite is the easiest one to make.
Exactly. But that means every time you're asking, or not every time, for the people who are butthurt, you'll get bad recommendations.
That's fair.
But that's just my pessimistic POV.
No, I get it. And like most people aren't from the Midwest, and like most people like don't.
But I love it anyways.
Don't,
and you
like,
got such a good recommendation
in the same realm of like existence as I do. So like I'm understanding and very open to the fact that not everyone likes to chit chat about food recommendations. Me, however, I love it.
Yes.
So I asked this man because the menu looked just like the day before and I wasn't hungover this time, so I wanted to eat everything. The menu looked so good. Like, I think, so it was called Eggs Benedicted. So I was like, I kind of want to get Eggs Benedict, but also there was this thing on the menu and it was like roast beef and eggs. And I was like, yo, roast beef and eggs. What? But I was like, no, that's like kind of extra, you know, like that's a lot. So this like silly ass waiter comes over and he's like, what do you want? And Paige ordered, and I was still like aggressively trying to decide. Like I was like flustered as fuck. And I go, oh God, what's your favorite? What do you recommend? And he did the thing that most people do. He like took a pause and like took a breath, and he was like, well, do you want sweet or not? And I was like, no, I don't want you to give me recommendations. I want you to tell me what your favorite thing is. And he was like, well, it's the roast beef, but it's like a pretty big plate, so I don't know if you could eat it. And the non-binary me was like, I need it. And also like just the food person in me who had read that and that sounded so good, I was like, I need it. So I got it, and oh my God, that changed my life.
Oh. It was so good.
It was so good. This really thick piece of toast, like so thick. And it wasn't even toast, it was just bread. But like really, really thick slice of bread with like cut up roast beef and you know like that chimichurri stuff. So it's like, I don't know what herb is in there, but it was like green herbs and like white wine vinegar with like poached eggs on top. Oh my God. Oh, I want it again.
I know.
I'll go back to Amsterdam just for that. And the coffee there was so good, too.
And the coffee, yeah, I know. I was so happy with that.
And that, because you got something, another really good thing from there.
I don't remember what I got.
You got those pancakes.
I don't remember what it was called, but it was so good. It was like savory.
It was pancakes with like ricotta
and
bacon and like a poached egg. And then you got avocado, too.
Yes, because I had to avocado.
Because you're an avocado girly, and that's okay. And we love you for it.
That was so good. Because I'd never like...
But you didn't put the maple syrup on it. I don't get that.
No, because I didn't want them to be sweet. I also don't like maple syrup on my pancakes. Sorry.
We can't be friends anymore.
I know.
Not even like the fake maple syrup.
Oh, God, no.
I feel so comforted by the fake maple syrup. No. It makes me feel so at home.
I just am not a maple syrup girly unless it's with only bacon. Like bacon with maple syrup on its own, that's okay. Pancakes. Yeah.
I get that. I don't do it, but I get that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big bacon fan. Like, I sometimes am.
That's what
like,
I'm not.
Very rarely.
I'm not a big meat person in general, but crispy, practically burnt bacon.
No, see, I'm the total opposite.
That's so fun.
Like, you give me crispy bacon, I'm not going to eat it. Like, the way that I eat bacon at home, like, so
if
for
you say just chewy and like, oh God.
Yes.
See, that's so disturbing.
Because it's like ham. It's like really delicious, like warm, like fatty ham. And like, there was a, like, before I became like a food connoisseur. I would literally get like the what was the word that you just used? The opposite of crispy?
Chewy,
thank you. I would get the chewy bacon and I would literally tear it apart and eat the meat part and just leave the fat.
Okay, yeah. That is necessary.
But like, no, but now now I don't, because now like the fat is so, it like adds so much.
Oh God.
So I like, but see,
now we can't be friends.
But see, that's the thing. Like I'm not going to say that I prefer Canadian bacon, cause like that shit's weird.
Yeah.
But like the idea of that sounds more appealing.
Bringing up Canadian bacon makes me want to take this in the direction of pineapple and pizza. I know
we can do whatever you want. No, save it for another time. Cause I'm going to make you come back. Cause I like that you being facts. On here. Okay, so, but that was by far, maybe... Well,
I think that was... Oh, we had so many good meals, but that was definitely up there.
I think like that was my favorite breakfast that we had.
I think so, too.
Because we had breakfast every single day.
It was my favorite breakfast, but my favorite coffee was the last morning. At the one with the chuggy decorations.
Chuggy. So that was... That place was called Tet's, but we'll get there. So there was Lavinia, Eggs Benedicted... We kept trying to go to this place called Brunchy because it was right by our hostel and it was always closed. Like every single time. Every single time that we wanted to go, it was closed. And the one time that we walked past it and it was open and we were going to go somewhere else. And then the place that we were going was full. And it was like a 20-minute walk back to Brunchy. So we never got to go.
Yeah.
Which is really sad because it looked so good.
It did. And when it was open, it was packed.
Yeah.
So you know it was good, but I don't know why it was closed those other days.
I know. It was because, like, there was one day we literally walked up to the front door. We stared in the window. There were people inside the restaurant. They looked at us and then just, like,
kept doing their thing.
And on the sign outside that had the hours, it should have been open all of those days, and it wasn't. So I don't know what was happening, but maybe it was just a fluke thing.
It was weird. It was very weird. But we tried to go there, and then... Wait, okay, so Saturday, Sunday, so then we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we went to Ted's.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.
When did we go to the place that was, like, outside the city? Do you remember? That was, like, when... That was Tuesday. That was Tuesday because then we watched American Horror Story that night because we were talking about it during breakfast. Okay, I have it. So we did Lavinia on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Eggs Benedicted on Sunday. The Dutch Pancake Place on Monday.
Yes.
I don't remember what it's called, but it was, like, a brunch place, like, outside of, like... May, like, touristy Amsterdam, and then we went to Ted's on Wednesday. So the Dutch Pancake Place, it was the day that we tried to go to Ted's, and it was all booked, and so that was just close. But also, I feel like you're in the Netherlands, you have to have, like, you know, like, a Dutch something, and they were good.
They were good. They were thin and really big.
Yeah, they were like crepes, but, like, different, and, like, I wouldn't say better, but just, like, so different and also really delicious.
Yes.
Like, so, okay, it was, like, the pancake with, like, apples, like, apple slices cooked into it, and then sour cream and, like, blueberry sauce.
And mine had almonds, whipped cream, and chocolate.
Didn't have bananas, too.
And bananas. Oh, fuck.
And their coffees came with the little stroop waffles, which I love.
Yeah. The stroop waffles. Those came almost every time we got a coffee.
Did they really?
Or like a little sweet something came with coffee.
But they do that in Europe. Like, they do that here a lot, too.
I guess they do that here, too. I love that. It's really cute.
Nice. I like it. I like when they give you, like, the Biscoff, like the, what are they called? You know?
Cookies?
Well, yes, cookies.
Like, I don't know what they're called.
But, no, there's a name, like, Spectaloos. Well, that's what they call them here. Yeah. I don't remember what we call them in America.
I don't know.
The stuff that you make cookie butter.
I was gonna say cookie butter, but cookie butter that's not cookies. Helpful either. I'm like, they're cookie butter cookies.
Maybe but a child. Those are good. Those are good. I used to buy like when I think it was when I went to college before I transferred. I had this friend and I'd always get them, and she's like, "Those are so gross! Like, they're airplane cookies." Oh. Someone who's not in my life anymore used to say that, and I don't remember who. It was either my ex best friend or my ex. Girlfriend, and I don't remember which
both
one.
Both are red flags.
Both are
don't
red flags.
Don't like speculoos or whatever in cookie butter. I just made pumpkin bread, which turned out fire, by the way.
I still have to try it.
Yes, you do. I'm going to make another batch. And I always eat it with cream cheese because that's the best way to eat pumpkin bread, in my opinion.
That's kind of weird.
No, it's not. It's like cream cheese frosting. Like, it makes sense.
Then make cream cheese frosting.
No,
don't because just I eat do plain it for cream breakfast. Cheese. I'm sorry, Paige. That's kind of weird.
No, cream cheese frosting.
Do you know anyone else who eats pumpkin bread with cream cheese on it? Other than
dad.
In your family?
It's like
anyone outside of your family?
Other people who I've had try it. Now they eat it. So
that's fair.
Going forward, I'll put
I
you on.
I guess I'll have to try it.
And I brought it to the girl that I'm going to room with next semester to try it, and she had cookie butter.
Ooh,
and we put
that would
cookie
be good.
Butter on the pumpkin bread. Oh, it's kind of dry, though.
The bread is?
Like, if you eat, like, because cookie butter is kind of dry on bread.
But
eating it with, this is going to be even weirder, but it's one of those things you just have to try. Cream cheese, cookie butter on pumpkin bread.
No, I mean, I feel like that's just less weird than just cream cheese.
No.
But okay, here's my question. So I gave Paige my family recipe for pumpkin bread. But when we make pumpkin bread, it's not dry at all.
It's not. It is really soft.
And, like, moist.
It is. But with the cookie butter on it, it's just, like, in your, like, you know what I mean? I have no other way to, like, describe
That's it. Really funny.
Because cookie butter is really...
It's really thick.
Yeah.
It's even less than peanut butter.
It's not the... I almost called it banana bread. It's not the pumpkin bread itself.
That's super fair.
It's the...
I understand that. Do you ever make pumpkin bread with chocolate chips in it?
Yes, but I'm not really into it.
That's fair. I do prefer the plain.
Yeah. I'm a chocolate person, but I don't know. I make pumpkin bread with the intention to eat it for breakfast, even though that's fair. I don't know.
I just like will make it and then just like eat it for every meal. I haven't made pumpkin bread in a really long time though. Like I'm trying to think. Last fall I
can make another batch.
Fall I did not bake at all. And this fall I have like negative money, and so I'm trying not to like go to the American store and spend like €7 on a singular can of pumpkin.
It was actually €6, correct?
Okay. Oh my god.
No, but it was expensive.
So I want to, but I'm gonna wait. My family's coming for Thanksgiving. I'm gonna wait till they're here because then I know that I'll be like, let's make pumpkin bread, and my mom will be like, oh my god, yes, let's go. And then she'll just buy me all of like I'm trying to not go to the store this week because my family's coming on like next Sunday. So I'm just trying to like struggle through this week like on my silly little like too good to goes and like buying a tiny little jar of milk because my fridge is broken.
Oh god.
But pumpkin content coming.
Yes.
Like, oh my god. We're gonna do a Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, we totally should.
Oh my god. Do you think I could have my sisters come and my sisters and I could do a Thanksgiving episode?
Yeah, if you can somehow break them in the building.
Oh my god, don't talk about that.
I'm kidding.
That would be so fun.
I'm more saying I'm sure you could get a visitor's pass.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm gonna have to text someone when we're done with this.
That's a good idea.
Emily, Maggie, get ready. We're going to do a Thanksgiving episode of Grace's Unnamed Food Show and talk about all the weird Midwestern dishes that we make.
Oh, please. I'm here for that.
Oh, my God. I'm excited for you to try our leftovers.
Yes, very.
Because, like, I want to, like, invite all my, like, little babies that I love to Thanksgiving. But
adoptive
I know that,
children.
But I know that my mom would kill me.
Yeah.
So
I'll eat your leftovers. I'm going to come to I almost called this my old school. That's terrifying. The AUP Thanksgiving that they're hosting. So that's cute.
That's fun. I know. That's
so I'll get
fun.
My Thanksgiving food.
Yes, but then you're going to come and have my Midwestern Thanksgiving.
Of course. Food. Best of both worlds.
Because we Midwestern folks make weird shit.
Yeah.
We were talking about it the other day with two Russian people, and they were like looking at me like I had 7 heads.
Oh,
I mean, like,
sure.
Paige was too. But, like,
because, but she, I at least know what to expect.
But, like, yeah, she's American, so she kind of gets it. But these, oh my god, they were so concerned.
Yeah, this was news to them.
And I had also never met these people before. And so I'm just going off about, like, the weird, like, spinach things that we make.
It's just, like, some of these recipes, I swear, are just straight out of the 60s and, like, contain all the canned Jell-O,
see,
et cetera.
Okay, they do, but this is, but the one that we're talking about isn't one of them. And I'm going to save it so that if anyone is listening, I'm not going to tell you so that your curiosity is piqued and you come back next time. But it's really so good. There's no canned anything. There is frozen spinach, but there's no cans of anything.
Okay.
There's no fair. Jell-O.
I'm just saying
it's
there's
only
a lot
good
of
things.
Recipes like that.
There are.
For Thanksgiving.
We do not use them because we're not crazy. We may be Midwestern, but we're not crazy.
That is fair. We do the Jell-O thing.
Ew,
so it's made its
really?
Way. Yes.
Do you eat it?
It's not my favorite.
Does it just
favorite?
Like sit on the table and jiggle? Like who actually eats it?
It's my grandpa's favorite.
Oh, okay. That's,
so we make it for him.
That's fair.
And then we all like we'll kind of poke at
that's
it.
That's so disgusting
and
though.
I don't
what's,
know.
What's in it?
I really don't know. So, I don't think I want to know.
So, like, wait, so who does your mom make it?
Yeah, but I kind of know, but I'm like, embarrassed to say it out loud.
You say it out
loud. It's, like, green Jell-O.
Okay.
Which just, if you're lime. Serving this, and keep in mind, you're serving this.
I'm a lime Jell-O bitch.
But
just
like
don't put anything in it.
That's fine, exactly. Or, like, Jell-O shots would be one thing. But if you're making this.
Only vodka allowed in my green Jell-O.
Exactly. But if you're making this with your meal, like, this isn't dessert.
Oh,
this
no,
is served on your plate
so
next
nasty.
To your turkey. And it's green Jell-O, and I think it's some sort of canned fruit, and I know pineapple is one of them.
Mm.
So it's pineapple in it and, like, cottage cheese.
Oh, God, not the cottage cheese.
And that's what I don't
not
know.
Not the cottage
who
cheese
invents
the
this,
Jell-O.
But
I know,
so it's, like, kind of, like, murky looking.
Because
clumpy.
Jell-O got so popular once, like, they realized that they could, like, But, like, reading
again,
or, like,
isn't that, like, a 60s thing?
Yeah, because they, like, realized that they could, like, make it easy and packageable and, like, you could just, like, put hot water in it and make it at home. And then, I don't know why, but it became a thing that, like, if you make Jell-O molds, then you are, like, high class.
It's just so bougie.
And I'm glad that that's not the case anymore because it's disgusting. Like, that's one of those things that you don't have to eat to know that it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Ew.
I would agree. Anyways, that's my
gross
contribution to Thanksgiving.
We're going to talk about Thanksgiving stuff next week, the week after.
Go back to our Amsterdam discussion of food.
Back to Amsterdam, because there's a few more things that I want to talk about. So the breakfast places that we didn't get to, they were... The other two places were just, like, breakfast. Like, honestly, nothing special.
Except for the coffee, the last one.
The coffee,
the last one, as I said, has really chuggy signs all over the walls. Like, champagne all day.
Yeah, and it was weird. It was, like, sorry for what I said before I had coffee.
It was, like, it was really cute, but it was just funny chuggy decorations. But the coffee, oh, my God, that was divine.
The coffee
definitely
was
the best I had.
The food, though, like, we got, like churro French toast, which sounds good, and I love French toast. But honestly, like,
It was not as exciting as you would think.
Like, I could have made better.
Yeah.
No offense, Ted. And I thought that because it was fully booked the first time that we went, it would be really, really good. But
yeah.
It was only okay.
Exactly.
It's okay, though. It was still fun. So that is breakfast. That took us most of the time. The other few things. Okay, something else that stuck, I know that stuck with both of us, was this Mexican restaurant that we went to. Because we miss Mexican food so much.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, I know that there's Mexican places here, and I've been told about some of them. I just haven't gone to, like, find them yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm lazy.
Well, I, every once in a while, when I'm really just, like, I have no food left in my apartment, and I'm starving, and I'm studying, I will Uber Eats a burrito.
But from, like, a...
But
like
aside from that, I have
like
not
like, a Chipotle type deal. Not from Chipotle, but it's, like... It's, like, from what I have seen about that, I forget what it's, Boca Mexa.
Boca Mexa. That's where I get my burritos.
I haven't had it yet because I was looking and you didn't get to, like, I don't know.
I like it. I like the Boca Mexa burritos.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the same as at home, but yeah, it hits.
That's fair. But, oh, my God, these burritos that we got in Amsterdam were
chimichanga.
So good. Chimichanga, sorry.
Because it's a fried burrito, which just makes it better because it's crunchy.
Yeah, it was really good. And it was so good. And I got this, I guess it was just a pina colada, but it was good, too.
Oh my God. Mojito. Oh.
Mm. And the server was, like, it was so funny. He was, like, talking to us. He was, like, what are you studying? And I said, oh, I'm, like, you know, like, studying English and film. And he was, like, I studied film. And then he started showing me his films. And, like, it was cool. But also, I was, like, I just want to eat my chimichanga and get drunk. Thank you.
And he was just showing the entire, like, full length of his phone.
Literally, I think it was like, really I think funny. It was like 6 minutes. He handed me his phone and then walked out the door, and I was like, like, it's
first
cool,
of all, where's
but,
the server going? Second of all, why did he leave his phone with you? Like, and I had gone to the bathroom and I came back to you just sitting alone with somebody else's phone. I was really confused.
That was funny. Yeah, that was funny. So the Mexican food, so good. We got dim sum our last day. That was so good, too.
Mm.
And then, so Amsterdam, for some reason, has really good Indonesian food.
Oh, yes.
Something to do with them being colonizers.
But
they have, like, a lot of Indonesian restaurants. And I don't know what the word is in Dutch, because Dutch is a weird language. But in English, it's just rice table. Like, they have these things called rice tables, and you basically go, and it's, like, it's kind of like, I don't want to say Indonesian tapas, but, like, it's kind of like that. Like, you order, and you just get, like, a, like, bowl, like, little bowls of a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. Yeah.
And
it's presented to you, like, very nicely.
Yes.
And
oh my God.
The place we went was so busy, too.
It was
so many
people getting. It was so good. So it was, like, basically, so, because... Here's another thing. I like spicy food, but I'm also a little bitch about spicy food, so I order
not,
spicier than
not as
I can.
I'm a little bitch about spicy food.
No, but you're just, like, physically incapable of eating spicy food.
Very accurate, too. True.
Like, I can eat it, but I think that I can eat more than I can, and then I get it, and I'm like, owie, it hurts, it's too spicy. But I do like being the one who tries everything and is like, okay, Paige, this one is probably too spicy for you. This one is fine.
And I give everything at least a little try.
You do,
and
I
just
that.
Mentally prepare and maybe freak out and guzzle all my water. But I liked some of the things that were, like, kind of spicy.
Good.
Like,
okay.
The reasonable spicy that I chase
yeah,
with water.
Yeah, because it was that I chase.
That I chase the spicy meat with water.
And the water doesn't even do anything with the water. No. It just moves the spicy around in your mouth.
You more need the wine.
Yeah.
It's more of a double chaser situation.
You chase with the water and then you chase with the wine. You're Jesus. You turn water into wine.
Obviously. Because of the spicy food, yes. Of course.
The spicy food is the Jesus. So there was one of the little bowls that had veal in it, which I hate that it was veal, and it was also the best, and I also hate that, but oh my God, it was so good.
I know which one you're talking about, and I don't think I realized it was veal at the time. Otherwise, that might have freaked me out.
I told you it was veal.
I still don't think it resonated in my brain. I don't know why.
No, I really hate when, like, veal, like, because it's baby cow.
I know.
It's so good, though.
And I'm not generally a big meat person, and I really wanted to have the Indonesian food. I was so excited about it, and Amsterdam is so well known for it. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to send it. I'm going to eat all of it. I'm going to try everything. And it was all really good, and I hated that I liked the veal.
Oh, yeah.
So upsetting.
Yeah, it was so good. So there was veal, which was my favorite. There was pork, which was also really good.
Yes.
There was chicken, which I just generally feel medium about chicken. If I'm going to eat chicken, I want, like...
But I liked the chicken there.
It was good.
I liked it.
I don't like, because I feel like chicken so often gets overcooked and like kind of like boring. Yeah. That like if, like I make, when I make chicken at home, I'll make like chicken wings or chicken thighs because like it's more effort and harder to tell if it's cooked, but it's so much better because like you have the bone and it just also like red, like the dark meat. So much better. Oh, I love dark meat. I'm the bitch who gets the drumstick on Thanksgiving.
And really? That's not,
yeah.
Like I'm the bitch who doesn't eat any turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I used to do that, but then I realized that, like, but then I got that idea that, like, oh, like, the dark meat, like, it's fattier. Like, oh my God, no, I'm not going to eat the fattier meat. Like, that's so bad for you. And I was like, bitch, the fattier meat tastes better, so I'm going to eat all of it.
Exactly. That's the way to go.
And last year was my first year, well, I was vegan the year before, so I had the Thanksgiving last year where I ate the drumstick, and then the year before I was vegan, so we didn't have turkey because I did Thanksgiving with my friends. But yeah, the dark meat I prefer. The like when they do like the sliced chicken and the thingies, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know, but I don't often cook meat at home, especially not chicken breast.
Yeah, no, you cook more meat than I do, which mine.
That's true.
Is like zero.
Yeah, that's
although true. I did make chicken last night, so proud of myself for that.
What kind of chicken? Tell me.
I made a coconut curry.
Oh, yes. You added chicken to it?
So good. Yeah, there was chicken in it. I mean, of course I had.
Wait,
help.
Was it my recipe?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
but
bitch.
I asked for your recipe intending to make it, and I will.
It's
I
so
just
good.
Need more spices.
That's fair.
So, and ingredients, but spices really are the issue.
That's, I understand that. I have all the spices. You can come.
And Yelena, our friend, brought me some spices. So.
Oh, that's so cute.
Exactly.
That
add some flavor to that.
That organic store by my house has a lot of really good spices.
Okay. On the hit list for sure.
That's good. It's called, I think it's just called Bian. Bian. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I pronounce everything incorrectly. But.
That seems accurate, though. I think it's good. Better than I would say it.
That's true. I do be speaking a little bit of French.
Yes.
Okay, so that is all for today. That is Amsterdam, episode 2 of Grace's Unnamed Food Show. I didn't give you guys a list of all the restaurants that we made, but that'll just be a challenge. Then you have to listen to the whole thing and make the list yourself and then go to Amsterdam and eat all the food and get the roast beef on the bread because it was so good.
Yes. Something we should attempt to recreate.
Yes.
But there's no way
that's a good idea.
Same.
But I don't want to roast beef. I feel like that's a hard thing to do.
I'm not a meat person.
I would imagine that you just take the beef and you put it in the oven. But other than that, I don't know. Paige, you're going to be back here soon, whether you like it or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely.
Did you have fun?
Oh, I loved it. I warmed up to the fact there's a microphone.
But did you actually have fun?
Yes.
Don't lie.
Well, I always have fun talking to you, so it's fine.
I have fun talking to you, too.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. I'll see you guys next time on Grace's Unnamed Food Show, hopefully with my sea stores. Hee hee hee. Bye.
Bye. You can't stop me, oh, you can't stop me, one thank you. You can't stop me, oh, you can't stop me, one thank you. You can't stop me, oh, you can't stop me.
You are listening to WRP.